Siete in compagnia di SBS Italian. Trovate altre storie su sbs.com.au/italian o scaricate la SBS Radio app.
Jerome Small, Victorian Socialists and candidate for Colwell. Welcome to SBS.
Well, thank you. Yeah, great to be here.
So this is an event for the community, and of course we would like to know from the candidates what they think are the issues that are more closer to the heart of the local community. What do you think?
Okay, I guess there's a long list, but I guess I'd pick out three. One is wealth inequality and the fact that, according to Oxfam, Australia's 47 billionaires have doubled their wealth in just 2 years. And no one around here seems to have doubled their wealth. In fact, you know, a lot of people scrambling for secure jobs, for decent health and so on. So obviously that's a big issue. Another issue, I guess you could call it community advocacy. So a few years ago when we were campaigning here, there was a very large explosion in a toxic chemical dump up in Campbellfield. And we called a small protest. And then a couple of other people called some protests, and that played some role in getting the Environmental Protection Authority to actually step in and take control of these sites before they exploded and smothered the whole area with toxic smoke. So, you know, we're not saying we did the whole thing, but we played some part in terms of getting some people power happening to address this, you know, chronic problem. So, yeah, that's an example of how we roll. I guess a third issue I would highlight is Palestine. For a lot of the people who live, especially in the southern part of the electorate, that's an issue that they hold very dear to their heart. And personally, I've been very involved in Palestine activism over a long period of time, campaigning about the role of the former rail contractor here, Connex, building a light rail in Jerusalem that connected Israeli settlements in occupied East Jerusalem, which was very controversial and actually illegal under international law. Yeah, I spoke a year ago at the rally about Sheikh Jarrah and the attempted ethnic cleansing there. Our candidate, Aaron Milvaganam, who came here as a refugee, as a teenager himself, and he's running in the Senate on our ticket. He spoke just last week at a Palestine rally, and very often I've spoken at rallies down at the Broadmeadows Detention Centre at Mitre as well. So refugees also is an issue which, you know, we find a lot of resonance for in this area.
You are, of course, one of the smaller players in this campaign, and you're well aware of that, but what's your assessment of how the campaign has gone so far? It's the third week now. We're talking a lot about cost of living. Do you think we're focusing on the right topics or on the right issues?
Cost of living is a huge issue, yeah, and especially around here where a lot of people are on fixed incomes. So I think, like, honestly, I think one of the biggest issues out here for anyone campaigning is political disengagement. There's a perception that this is one of the safest Labor seats in the country. Many people think that means they don't have to work so hard. The Greens have run candidates but haven't put maybe a lot of effort in. In this southern part of the electorate, we actually we came third on a lot of booths. So Meadow Heights, Campbellfield, Broadmeadows, I'd have to check Coolaroo. It was actually Labor, Liberals, then us. So in the electorate as a whole, we came just behind the Greens. So that's a lot of work, engaging with people and talking with people. And we found a lot of people who were just like, they're all the same. What's the point? And our message of trying to get some people power going to address the pressing issues in this community and, raise some issues with the fact that our billionaires have doubled their wealth while the rest of us are struggling, I think finds a resonance.
It's a very multicultural part of Melbourne, and of course the pandemic has hit very hard. What do you think are the lessons we could learn as a nation from what happened over the last couple of years and what you would like to see happen?
I think one of the lessons we can learn is that the way things are is not the way they have to be. Like, we've been told for so many years, we have to have a poverty level, below poverty level actually, for income support, people on Newstart and so on. All of a sudden, it was possible to double that money. I think a lot more changes like that would have been possible. I think the lockdowns and the vaccinations have saved a lot of lives. They've saved a lot of ill health. But now I'm very worried that we're just being told the pandemic is over, and it's not over. There's a lot of people getting very seriously sick. So I think one of the main lessons coming out of it is the need to rapidly and very dramatically increase health spending on public health, on hospitals, on the whole gamut, and also start education campaigns on how this virus spreads and how we can minimise the transmission through ventilation, through masks and so on.
Do you think a communication around health prevention was good enough over the last couple of years?
No, I don't. And I think it's ironic. I mean, I guess it varied over time. Like early on, there was a time in 2020 when the vaccination manufacturer CSL, which is at the bottom of this electorate, just off Camp Road, was pumping out like hundreds of thousands of doses every week. But in the streets surrounding that factory, in Broadmeadows itself, we had one of the lowest vaccination rates. Now, that was addressed by community action, by the health authorities, you know, definitely played a part. But I think we seem to be always playing catch-up. And when I look around now, I think that there definitely is a lack of basic messaging about this is a vicious disease. You want to avoid getting it if you can. You don't want to get it multiple times if you can avoid it. Let's all do something, wearing a mask and so on. You can find it on Health Department Twitter, but there's no, you know, on the ground, people-powered effort to try and address the spread of it.
Do you think from the point of view of multicultural policies, we could change something?
Definitely. I think like a lot of parties say that they're, every party really, say that they're opposed to racism. What's distinctive about Victorian socialists is that we have an analysis that the billionaires and their political servants consciously use racism and Islamophobia and other forms of division to distract and divide all of the ordinary people so they can keep, you know, making all the money. And so it's not just a moral argument against racism. It's an argument to every single person in this community actually that racism is a harm to everyone. 100% to the people who are subject to it, but also to the extent that ordinary people buy into that racism and believe all of the, you know, lies, quite frankly, which are told in the media about different groups. This keeps us all divided and means that the billionaires can keep making the cash while we all struggle to keep our head above water.
Thank you so much and good luck.
Thank you very much.
Pizza, lasagne, tiramisù sono piatti conosciuti in tutto il mondo, ma ci sono altre specialità, segreti nascosti che non si trovano su Instagram, bruttini magari, ma adorati da molti in Italia e all'estero. Sono Massimiliano Gugole e in questa serie prodotta dall'emittente pubblica australiana SBS esplorerò le storie di sei piatti affascinanti per un ritratto inedito della cucina italiana. Scarafoni in cucina, The Ugly Ducklings of Italian Cuisine. Ascolta la serie in italiano e in inglese sulla tua piattaforma per podcast preferita.